We move very quickly this morning, so we are running behind in schedule, to our subject matter, and as we survey the writings of our beloved Apostle Paul and his epistles, he asks you to turn to Romans in chapter 8, as we always do, and then our concentration will be in the second chapter of the fourth chapter rather, of 2 Corinthians, verses 17 and 18, and then there's something we want to go back to bring into focus, what Paul is basically bringing out in the 17th and 18th verse of that fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. But first, let's go to our base scripture very quickly. Although Liverman shall be our designated reader. Verse 16, 17, and 18 of the 8th chapter of Romans, and then we will turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where we left off last week. All right, everybody got the 8th chapter of Romans, verse 16? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, read.
Romans chapter 8, verse 16.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit,
mm-hmm,
that we are the children of God.
Our Lord.
And if children, then heirs.
The heirs.
Heirs of God.
Heirs of God.
And joint heirs with Christ.
Joint heirs of Christ.
If so be that we suffer with him,
mm-hmm,
that we may be also glorified together.
Which we understand that here he is speaking of the suffering of Christ that bringeth about the glory. So we're not in any work program this morning. Verse 18.
For I reckon that the sufferings
I calculate that the sufferings, go ahead,
of this present time,
mm-hmm,
are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
All right, let's turn to the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians, as we look very closely into the latter two verses of that, the last two verses of that chapter, 17 and 18, and I think we had moved down through the end of verse 17 last week. We'll take up there as the Spirit of Truth is conveying to us the workings of God, which we should be concentrating on.
Amen.
Instead of what's happening to us, we should be looking at what God is doing, and that's a big problem, because when you start to turning the spotlight on yourself, you get a very bleak picture, and it is bound to cause you to become very discouraged. And as we said last week, there are certain questions that, as we look around at the things that we suffer and the things that we go through, it poses a lot of questions, and some of the answers that have been offered for these questions are harmful. You didn't get healing because you didn't pray long enough or hard enough. You don't have enough faith, and you pray for your loved one. And I heard one man say that he said, I prayed. He was preaching, and he said, My mother was a godly lady, and I can vouch for, because you can't vouch for no one, but that was his testimony. But she got sick, and I prayed, and she died. And he said, I got so discouraged, I said, I'm not going to, and this was a pastor, he said, I wasn't going to pray for anybody else, because evidently God didn't hear my prayer. Amen. God always hears our prayers. Amen. In this case, he said no. You know, can you take a no answer? we don't like to take answers of no, do we? No, but that's, you know, God is sovereign. You've got to embrace the sovereignty of God, first of all, in election to salvation, and then carry it down to every aspect of life. God is sovereign.
Yes.
You see, so if your parent, your spouse, your children, they get sick unto death, and of course we should petition God, and we do petition God, raise them up, but we have learned to pray, Lord, according to your will. And God will always do according to his will. And yes, we will have to learn to embrace his will and to love his will.
Come on.
Amen. You might want one thing and God want, the God's will is another. Guess what's going to happen? God's will. Amen. So no use to setting yourself up to become discouraged and perplexed and confused. And some people turn bitter and they don't have nerve enough to come out and say it. But they, in their mind, some people walk around mad at God.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, subconsciously, mad at God.
Yeah.
And so we must look into the Word of God to get understanding. In that 17th verse, everybody got to say amen. All right. Read that. I'm the King James.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
Now, what we've said here, and again, for the sake of time, we're going to move through some things right quick now. I want to hit a couple of points today. Here, Paul is, again, not making light, he's not saying light, fullest extent of our present suffering, that it is in significant. But it is to be compared with the awesome sacrifice of the suffering of Christ. And when it is compared, there's no comparison. That which we have, which is for a moment, time is just a whisper of eternity. Amen. Just a whisper of eternity. 100 years in comparison to eternity is not a long time. It's a very short time. We don't understand that we our lifespans are but a flicker in eternity. Oh my God, somebody. So here, that Greek word is an adjective. So we can say a momentarily light afflictions. Amen. Because when we compare them, they are light in that sense. So we had asked some posing questions. What is the purpose of God in our suffering? Why is the suffering concomitant with the service to God? Why does God allow those of us whom he obviously loves? He loves us. He's proven that. Amen. You were made an object of his love. Why from eternity has he provided for us an eternal relationship with us, but he didn't provide an escape from problems and trials? Amen. Why did God not exempt us from these things? And we're saying that it must be indelibly impressed upon our minds, and our mindsets must come into focus of understanding that everything marches to the drumbeat of God's eternal will. And so our existence is a minute part of the entirety of all of things. Amen. And that God has an individual plan for each and every one of us. God's plan for you will differ from God's plan for me. And just because you got healed, I shouldn't form no attitude. God said, God, you raised up so and so as mother, but you allowed man to die. Amen. You must love that person more. No. God has individual plans. Some of us will be rich and have lots of money, and the others of us, gonna be like me. Amen. And so it does not get that does not reference gauge that God is loving one more than the other. God is working out His will. Now, what we should take comfort in is that God is in complete control of all things, every operational force, that is, whether it's evil or good. Don't you ever think that God ever loses control, not even for one iota of an increment. Amen. It might seem that way, that things are getting out of hand, Lord, but God has not relinquished power to the devil. He's not abdicated his power. Now, he said the Bible says that Satan is the power, the prince of the power of the air. He is the god of this age. That's God assigned that to him. And at the appointed time, that will be rescinded. Amen. And so God is working all of these things out, for all things are subjected to His purpose. Now, we must understand who we are. Who are we? We are sons of God. As was read earlier, we are children of God. We are heirs of God. We are joint heirs with Christ. Amen. And that means something. We are positioned in Christ. Amen. But God has designed it, and it is His will, and He is sovereign, and everything that He does is good.
Yes.
And He has made suffering a part of our lot. Amen. And so before we start assessing situations as to whether they are victory or defeat, or success, a failure, was evaluated through our gospel. Let's look at the validity of those things that are evident in our lives. Now, again, we always come back to this fact, and this is why we dwell upon the doctrines of salvation. This is why we deal with the justification and the propitiation and the reconciliation and the adoption. This is why we major nations. Amen. Because you will always have to be brought back into focus through the eternal workings of God and what He has done for us. And as these facts are expressed to us, amen, along with the information that God has individual plans for our lives, we are able to view the trials and vicissitudes in the proper vein. First of all, information is so important to us to the end that we understand that we are depraved creatures living in a depraved environment. And God changed the environment, otherwise He would have had to destroy, would have instantly been destroyed. So when the nature of the creature was changed, the environment was changed to accommodate it. So we took all of these things together, and what it all boils down to are the workings of God. So it causes us to concentrate and to focus on what God is doing rather than what but what we are doing. So the culmination of all things that have been devised are to the end of giving him, that is God, the ultimate glory and praise. Don't you want God to be praised this morning? We say we do, but if your suffering will contribute to his praise and glory, are you willing to suffer this morning for the praise and the glory of God? Amen. That is the question. So it is to that end that all actions and occurrences are progressing. Those of us in life, and we rightfully so, should have aspirations and we have affections. One thing that the teaching of the gospel, the grace of God, our contract, teaches us to focus on those things that are eternal, those things that are spiritual, those things that are unseen, those things that are not connected to the heartbeat of the curses of time. And so if we can ever fall into line with that, our focus will not be so much on what's happening to us as much as what is God doing and what developments are coming out of what God is doing. Amen. In other words, Paul's concentration here is exemplified by, as we look into the Word of God, Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. We don't have time this morning, oh my God, to basically focus on that. We will come back to that, but it says a whole lot of things here. Amen. What is God accomplishing? In as stay in the 17th verse, what is God bringing about? Here we have the Greek word translated workings, that is katagazethe. It's in the present tense. What is God doing? Yeah. Paul's knowledge of the revelation of the mystery, amen, the revelation of God's eternal workings position him with the unique view of the full spectrum of his existence, whereby he occupied in a period of time, yet he always dealt in the complete workings of God. And so Paul viewed, and of course we are able to view, that is, if we look from our gospel, past, present, and future. Amen. Just as he has looked from eternity to eternity, amen, we look from eternity past through time into eternity, with the emphasis on eternity, not on time. So with this view, one is always focused on the tall stratum. Let's be the term, and we dealt with this last week, this term, the eternal now. I want you to get used to that term. What is the eternal now? Everybody say the eternal now.
The eternal now.
What is it? It is defined as the current view of time from the vantage point of eternity. Amen. As you look at things, you're not locked into the fact that you're broke and that you got a turn off notice yesterday. Amen. Of something. Amen. And some of us that'll ruin our whole day. Amen. Not that those things are not important, but we're not locked into what is this, October the what? This is today is the fifth. We're not locked into the fifth day of October, year 2003 AD. You are here from the standpoint of being the creatures, and this is where God has you. But the Word of God can allow us to look into the eternal realm of things, and not to be basically in our minds, in our hearts, in our spirits, locked into a man, a held prisoner, a held captive to what is going on in our lives. Listen to me this morning. I'm not just talking either, amen. I've been there and I am there, and oh my God, I can kind of see why some of the things have happened in my life. You cannot really be able to convey this thing without experiencing. Now see why the Apostle Paul was shipwrecked on one occasion. Why he was beaten 40 stripes. I can see why he lost his health and lost his money, and y'all hear me this morning, because God had given him a revelation, amen, that cast into the eternal realms of his workings, and he could have not, and he couldn't, and it wasn't in God's design for Paul to be able to convey this if he was going to be caught up in the things that he had in this world.
Yes. Yes.
So he stripped him.
Yes.
I call that love. God loved Paul. He loves you.
Yes.
In spite of what you're going through, God loves you. Don't you ever let the devil come and run that game upon you. You know too much.
Right.
You know too much. Right. Amen. So here, as we view the eternal now, we do so in our view and our consideration of what Paul is conveying concerning the workings of God. What is God working? What is God producing with our earthly afflictions? Amen. What is the purpose? How is God working these things out? The things that you feel, and sometimes we can feel so awful that it just seems like life is just drag. Life is so hard. Life is so terrible. Amen. Why doesn't God just fix it where I don't have all of these problems? Amen. The answer is found. It's the term that we used last week. I'll just briefly touch upon it again today. In that 17th verse, we have the Greek phrase kat epiphilin is epiphilin. Amen. More and more exceeding. Paul uses this term to ascribe the glorious working of God. Amen. Versus the problems and the hardship that we face. I think as a corroborator in the Old Testament, don't turn there, we're just corroborating something. Hael Ezer went to get to Isaac's bride. Remember that story? And as she traveled through the rough terrain, he kept telling her about what the end of the trip was going to be. Amen. I know some of you like it when I go into the Old Testament. But as she traveled through with the heartaches and what he felt, he kept telling about it. Amen. You see, if your view is eternal, amen, it'll overrule the circumstances of time. Y'all will hear me this morning. Amen. And so we should be happy, not sad. Regardless of what's going on in your life, You are a child of God. Let's get back to the basis. You are an heir of God. You're a joint heir with Christ. Your position in the body of Christ. Amen. God has eternally worked out that through all eternity, you, amen, of all of God's creation, are the most favored. Give God a hand for this morning.
Yeah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Then you're going to let some little bill ruin your day. Amen. And I'm not up here talking, and that's something I can't relate to. Amen. And I know this is on the, will eventually be on the internet or whatever. Yeah, I had my lights turned off, gas turned off. Some people walk around, we make prisoners. That's not the worst thing could happen to you. Huh? I've had a car repossessed. Say, you've just been a bad person. No. You see, the things that happen in life are not to be magnified over the fact of the provisions of your eternal life that God has so graciously and lovingly given to you.
Glory.
We got to get out of this. Break out this morning. Do not become a prisoner of your circumstances. Hear me. So the focus is on the seated workings of God. As we said last week, I hit this and then I'll be through with this part. But Kof Epipolim alone would have been insufficient as a superlative to give expression, so he uses the added term that he joins to it, is Epiphilin, amen, as the spirit of truth deemed that the full expression was necessary to give some semblance of the expression of the weight of the glory which is our inheritance. Amen. And so when we look at this expression, it is an attempt to heap one superlative on top of another. Amen. In order to give expression. So here we have a hyperbole upon another hyperbole. Here, as it can best be described, even using the Greek, it would be expressed exceedingly glorious, glorious in the highest possible degree. Amen. This form of expression is the highest possible superlative, but yet it is not sufficient, as all human languages superlatives, they fail in expressing that eternal glory which is reserved for us. Oh my God. Here Paul states for me now, give him about 15 minutes, that the eternal glory which God is working for his beloved is infinite and boundless. One may seek to ascertain its quantity by expressing one degree to another, one sublime height to another, but the only quantitative expression that is possible in human terms is infinity. Again, if you took 40 and you divide it by 6, what would you get? 6 in the 40 goes what? 6 in the 6, 40, 6 times 6 is 36, and you subtract 36 from 40, you get 4. Now you got to divide 6 into 40 again, and you come out with what? 6. So it's 6.66, and you can do it all day, all night. You can do it the rest of your life. You'll never get to the end of the expression because it equals infinitive, which means that when you, and I'm just using that as a crude example, when you speak of the eternal glory of God and you seek to quantitate it, it goes off into infinity. Infinity, there is not enough superlatives, and there is no full answer, amen, to quantitate the glorious possession about eternal weight in glory. Oh my God, isn't that deep?
Deep, yes.
Thank you. Hmm?
So these are the things that the Word of God is trying to get us to focus on.
Yes.
Instead of your problem, put your mind off your problem.
Hallelujah.
So, well, if I don't deal with this, that's where syllogism comes in. Mm-hmm. Don't you know that the only one that can do anything about your problem is God?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And if He deemed to leave it there, all your workings are not going to move it or change it or alter one thing about it. Amen. You know, and some songs, of course, we don't sing that here, you know. Whatever the problem, I leave it all in his hand. You know, you don't have the ability to put it in his hand or take it out of his hand. It's already in his hand. It's never left his hand. But you got to understand that it's not in your hand.
Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God.
Some of y'all looking at me strange this morning. Amen. But you see, that's what synergism has done to us.
Yeah.
Amen. God, amen,
yes.
He is the controller and the designer,
yes,
of all things. Amen. Give it 10 minutes here. So, again, it is not in the realm of our human capability to express the infinitude of that which God has so graciously given unto us. Now, when we look at this, we find ourselves still perplexed. Why are we perplexed? Mainly because some of us, we don't believe it. We don't believe it. Say, yes, I do. No, you don't. No, we don't. You know, we may give lip service to some of this stuff. We don't really believe it. Amen. Next week, we're going to get into the in-depths of our problems, and we're going to analyze them from the scriptures. Amen. We're going to see God and see God working and see God moving. What is God doing? What is God accomplishing? What is this all about? What is going on in our lives? You know, I mean, and some said, "Lord, where are you?" Amen. You know what God is? He's everywhere. Somebody said, "Where is God? Where is God? Where was God on? Was it September 11th, 2001, when the planes?" It is so strange. In America, we don't believe something is happening unless it's happening here. Amen. You can get a tidal wave to come through and wipe out 30,000 people,
yeah,
in some far-off country, and it doesn't even get the press here.
Yeah.
They put it somewhere on the back pages.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, we say it's not happening unless it's happening to us. So then when it's happening to us, what is happening? What is this all about? You know? And many of us, we get so caught up in what's going on until guess what? We become ineffective,
yes,
to deal with anything that's around us.
Yes,
and sometimes when some of you drop out and I don't see you, I know you're somewhere licking your wounds. You know? So I'm sick. Yeah, you've got some ailment. But whatever problem you're going through is affecting you more than the ailment. What's mentally occurring is more impactful of the reason you didn't get out of bed than the physical aspect of it. You know, so well, you know, I'm sick, I got this ailment, you know. No, you're somewhere mesmerized by something that is going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, give me 5 minutes. So, down the line, question is, how does one reconcile, we'll deal with this next week, how does one reconcile our sufferings of what we are presently experiencing in time, how do we reconcile that with what God has already worked out in eternity? I think I'll repeat that.
Yes.
This is the question.
Yes.
How do we reconcile our present suffering of what we're presently experiencing in time with what God has already worked out in eternity?
Already.
How do we reconcile the two?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, as we receive the enlightenment of the eternal workings of God, how does it translate to our daily lives and the things that we encounter in this present life? Again, the focus must be on what God is accomplishing in time. Not upon what is happening to you in time, but what God is doing with what is happening to you in time. Let that focus in. You see? You know, we have an expression around here, but I don't think most of us believe. It's all about Him. It's not about you.
That's it.
It's all about Him.
Amen.
You were made to function according to His pleasure.
Amen.
And if that function entails some suffering or you're going through some affliction, mm-hmm. it's all to God's glory.
It is.
Amen. I know this. Well, this is not good preaching at all, Pastor. You see, can I talk about another 3 minutes? What is taught throughout in our gospel? When I say our gospel, I'm talking about our contract, the gospel of grace. What is taught is that God has a design. He has designed our suffering for His specific purpose. This is what our gospel teaches us. God has designed. You don't get that in the other gospels. You don't. You don't get into the essence of those things that are so clearly given, because in those other gospels you don't have the eternal view. In our gospel, we have the eternal view.
Yes.
The eternal view.
Amen.
And so the eternal view tells us that there's a specific purpose for our suffering. Thus, our trials and afflictions are assigned to us. He said, no, they're not assigned to us. Yes, they are. Go to Philippians 1:26. Don't do it today. We'll do it next week. It's assigned to you. Your suffering is assigned to you. Hmm? Yeah, in fact, let's stop a minute. At least read that. He says, he said, no, the devil, no. He said, no. God, it's not God's will for you to suffer. Somebody be bold enough and dull enough to make that expression. Amen. If it was not His will for you to suffer, you wouldn't suffer. You know, God has different plans. Do you have it there?
Philippians 1,
I think it's 1:26. Read that right quick.
Philippians chapter 1, verse 26.
Mm-hmm.
That your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ.
Well, I'm looking for the one that he said it is given to us to suffer on behalf of Christ. 1:29. All right, let's go to 1:29. Everybody got to say amen. All right, read that.
Philippians chapter 1, verse 29.
Mm-hmm.
For until you,
who is Paul? He expresses, you got the personal, you got the pronoun there, you. Who is he writing to?
Members of the body of Christ.
Members of the body of Christ. So it's unto us. Mm-hmm. Everybody say unto us.
Unto us.
Uh-huh, read.
It is given.
It is who gave it?
God.
Read it.
To be given
on behalf of, oh my God, I know that. I'll come up with this little book. Finish reading it up.
Of Christ. Not only to believe on
Not
him.
Only to believe, so you know you can't put it on the devil, because the devil did not cause you to believe. So the same one that caused you to believe has done what, Reed?
But also to suffer for his sake.
He's caused to suffer for his sake.
Amen.
Not only to believe, but also, I know that's tough. That's tough. Give me about a minute and a half here. So, as we look here, it basically in this fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians that states that our trials and afflictions are assigned to us. Amen. Oh my God. They're assigned to us. Amen. This is why some suffer in some veins and others suffer in other veins.
Amen.
God has a plan for Deacon Gavin. Amen. That's why he's got so much money, you know. And you know, I can't be envious of what God has done for you. an interview. Amen. That's his plan for you. So, when we understand that our trials are assigned to us according to God's sovereign will for our individual lives. Now this is dutifully executed in the lives of all believers in varying degrees. In this 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're not going to deal with it this morning. Apostle Paul documents an account of his suffering and the courage and patience that God provides to him through the challenges that he experienced. In verse 8, I just read it from the Greek text. We'll deal with this next week, and this is where we'll start out. He states from the Greek text, being afflicted. We have a present participle there. What is the participle? It is a verbal adjective. Right. Amen. Being afflicted in every way, my Lord, but not being distressed. Being perplexed, but not in despair. Being persecuted, but not forsaken. Being cast down, but not being destroyed. Always, can you say always?
Always.
Always caring about in the body the dying of Jesus. And this is what's going on. Hear me this morning. That also the life of Jesus might be manifested in our body.
Yes.
For we who live, in the 11th verse, are always being delivered unto death because of Jesus, that also the life of Jesus might be manifested in our mortal flesh. And come back to the word identification. Amen. You are identified with the suffering of Jesus because you shall receive through identification the glory that he has earned. Give the Lord a hand, please. We'll take up next week. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Get the Lord another hand. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God.